Hi, everyone, and welcome back to For the Curious and Confused, a podcast for people who want to understand different perspectives of the world through the people who inhabit it. I'm your host, Dom McTaggart, and today I'm joined by Michael Shepard and Gubaz Jiorgadze. Michael is currently a student at Syracuse University, majoring in architecture, and has a strong academic record where he's been listed consistently on the dean's list. Gubaz graduated from the University of Buffalo with a degree in philosophy, politics, and economics. Together, they're co-founders of Test Prep Academy, a company aimed at empowering students through personalized and high-quality online tutoring. Revisiting and revising the methods we use to learn is an important theme in the 21st century, so I'm excited to hear what Test Prep Academy has to offer. Michael and Gubaz, thank you guys for sharing your time today.
Thank you
Thank you.
for us.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, all right, I'll let you guys know who we got covered up for. Who's talking where? So to start us off, maybe could you give us a 2-minute introduction of who Michael and Gubaz are and what motivates you? Maybe starting with Michael there.
Sure. My name is Michael. I come from a Georgian immigrant family, but I was born here in Brooklyn in New York City. Growing up, I was always taught that education is very important. My family's kind of old school, and they were very convinced that without an academic education that's very strong and full of distinctions and things like this, you wouldn't really get far in life. Personally, I think you absolutely could, but I think without it, but education definitely helps. And I've loved to teach ever since I was young. I'm sure this is rare, but even when I was a kid, I would look at the teachers conducting their lessons, and I would think, I feel like I'd be good in their shoes too. And I guess that's a rare thing. A lot of people don't think like that, but I knew that it would be a perfect business venture to start something that I'm both passionate about and also think I'd be very good at. And so far, both have been the case, and I'm very excited to see how things keep going.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear more about that. That's a nice initial story of the recognizing the doing a similar thing as the teachers that were in your classes. Good boss, what about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to add on to something that Michael said of our parents being old school. So I as well come from a family of Georgian immigrants, and however, I was also born in New York City and grew up here. So I feel like both Michael and I are at an age right now where we're able to really blend the old school mentality with the new school approaches. And I feel like that's what works the best with our students currently. Because the thing is, we experience that of having those old school tutors, right? And as much as they were very knowledgeable in their field of study, when it comes to teaching, it's one thing of being knowledgeable, but it's very important to be able to share that knowledge in a particular way, right? Keep your students engaged and keep them kind of hungry to learn more from you, right? And I feel like that's something that we do really well at Test Prep Academy is curating our teaching approaches to particular students, because we know what it feels like to be in their shoes, right? We grew up in the so to speak, American school system, right? And we've experienced what it is to take these tests that they're taking, whether it's the SGSAT or the SAT or the Regents. And we've experienced that, but we also still have that little bit of the old school mentality kind of implanted in our minds. So I feel like we blend that well, and we strive for the same results, but we kind of give it a more modern approach to kind of how we interact with the students.
Very cool. Maybe just for listeners who aren't as familiar with old school versus new school, can you maybe give like a 1 or 2 sentence summary for what you mean by old school mentality and what you mean by new school methodology or whatever terminology you use there?
Yeah, Absolutely. So, I mean, with old school, we mean, all right. So we would, I don't know about Michael, but I had this older Russian tutor that was very just like strictly business, you know, and that might work with certain students. But, you know, there was some times where it's like your mind starts to drift off because it's just like information coming at you at a rapid speed, and it's like if you can't keep up, then they're just like getting aggravated with you of like, oh, why don't you understand this? You know, where we realize that, look, every student has different learning methods, right? Some are visual learners where you could, for example, we could share our screen and annotate on the screen, and they could follow along and understand in that way. Some have to do it themselves. So instead of us sharing our screen, we would ask them to share their screen and kind of walk us through their steps and just give them guidance with that approach. Also, we incorporate a lot of different, you know, technology and websites that, you know, that the tutors that I had didn't really know about or didn't really think worked, but we have seen that there, you know, it yields the results that we are striving for. So we just try to curate our individual program, and that's why we do one-on-one personalized tutoring, right? We don't offer group lessons right now because we feel like, look, right now with how it's structured, since it's strictly virtual, we don't want our attention to kind of be split. It's different when it's in a classroom setting and you're present, you're able to interact with the students differently. But because we're offering virtual tutoring, we want to keep it one-on-one, personalized, so that we could curate this program to each individual student's needs.
I can see a lot of advantage with that. So thanks for the clarification on those 2 points. So Michael,
Absolutely.
maybe could you give us a little bit of an outline of what are some of the challenges you're trying to help people address with your work? I'm sure a lot of this will piggyback off of what Gubaz said, but just to start digging in a little more.
I mean, there's a lot of challenges right now with the generation we're dealing with today. And you know, that sounds like something that every generation has said about the incoming one. But honestly, there's a couple of issues we need to address that have never really been seen on such a mass scale. What we're used to as humanity has moved forward, especially since the Industrial Revolution and, you know, the 20th century with the boom of technology, is we've been used to every generation improving and improving when it comes to academic understanding, right? As time moves on, as technology improves, we have students that are able to learn earlier and they're able to learn better, read faster, literacy rates have gone up, you know, math proficiency rates have gone up. Now, for the first time, we're starting to see a decline. It's very difficult with a lot of challenges that have been brought forward. Really, it started in 2020 with the coronavirus and the year away from schooling, from physical schooling when everyone was doing virtual. This caused a lot of developmental issues, especially with the earlier years, kindergartners, first graders, second graders, who are supposed to, in these years, very important years of development, talk to people, begin problem solving, begin critical thinking, communication. They've missed out on this. Now, eventually this problem shifted because there was two things that are happening at the same time. Even right now, COVID is still blamed for the falling literacy rates, the falling academic standards. But it's really two things that came up at the same time. Now, the second thing is, of course, the popularization of short form content. So even about 10 years ago, when Vine first came out, that was really the first application that ever had these short 7 second videos that you could see over and over again, multiple, right? But even that wasn't around very long time, and it didn't really get a chokehold on everything. Now, after TikTok has come out and every other media platform has followed suit with YouTube Shorts, with Instagram Reels, with Twitter videos, every single social media application, even Snapchat, and even ridiculous, like you'd never imagine, like something like LinkedIn having short form content, but they do. And so What they're doing now is they're running these scientific studies, and they're seeing that, though we joke and we call it brain rot, in reality, it actually does do damage, significant damage to your cognitive ability, your ability to store memory, your ability to learn and gain new information, especially when you're watching it for hours. And these students, they have a lot of trouble. They have trouble paying attention. They have trouble with communication skills. And what you see a lot of the time is you're tutoring a ninth grader that's actually a year or two behind on a seventh grader, sixth grade level. And it's become a very a large challenge to address because when you're tutoring, especially you have 2 or 3 hours a week with this child, it's not necessarily enough time if their foundations are completely gone and they don't understand how they're supposed to learn, how they're supposed to read, how they're supposed to do math. But the hope is that we can actually just promote positive behaviors as well. So it's not just we teach them for an hour mathematics. We also say, hey, give them advice. Make sure you don't go online for too long. Don't be watching these reels. Don't be watching these TikToks because they're really doing damage to you. And in that sense, we like to think of ourselves as tutors, yes, but also as like mentors for these children, that over the years we develop a connection with them, that they can trust us, and then they'll listen to us because, say what you will about like nagging elders and everything, but a lot of people do have somebody's best interest at heart, and we'd like to think we have our students' best interest at heart, and we try to give them advice to cut things out like that. We tell the parents too, so. That's a really big challenge we've been trying to fight.
Yeah, so it sounds like a little more of a holistic approach as well, where you're taking in these outside factors outside of just like how well they're understanding a certain subject and providing more holistic direction. So how does that tie into your actual personal tutoring philosophy, like when you're actually engaging with students and what methods do you use to determine the needs of your tutorees? Maybe Gubaz, we can start with you and bounce back to Michael for a second.
Absolutely. To touch on, so Michael mentioned the nagging elder, right? I feel like we can all relate to that, where we've had someone kind of just like nagging at us, saying like, "You have to do this, you have to do that." But what our approach is more so is that these children, no matter how young they are, right? It could be a first grader. You can't underestimate their ability to comprehend what you explain to them. So it's one thing to tell a student, hey, you have to do this, but it's another thing to really explain to them from the ground up of why you have to do this, right? For example, and what like the long-term goal of this is, right? And we try to use our own experience to sort of create this o overarching like idea of, all right, think about this. All right, you're this one exam, right? You might think about it as just one little thing that doesn't really matter, but we try to show them that, hey, this actually, it all builds on each other, right? And if you miss this one step, it's just going to be harder and harder to get to that next level. Because now you have all this knowledge that you were supposed to take in at a certain time, and now you're kind of having to do double duty, where not only are you learning new things, but you're having to refresh on old things. So we try to curate this program in a way where we take them step by step, and we want them to kind of see the big picture, and we want them to understand of why we're doing each particular part of what we do.
Yeah,
I
so
don't
it
know if
sounds
that.
like you're also, yeah, no, that's great. So it sounds like you're also, like trying to activate some sort of internal motivation within them as well, where if
Yes,
they can
absolutely.
understand the reasoning for why they need to learn things, then that's a much better reason than just saying you've got to do this because it's like, you're a kid and
Because
like
I
you're in
told you
school.
so.
And yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, that's great. So Michael, do you have anything to add on how you approach that kind of question?
Actually, yeah, very much so. So one thing is like we have certain students and they come in and they say, I just need like a 3 to 6 month program where I study for this exam or I need help just for this class that I'm struggling with. And that's one thing. But some of our best success stories are actually students where we try to map out like a multi-year long a plan here. So for example, there's this student I took on recently, and I expect to be his tutor for actually a few years. He's in sixth grade right now, and we want to prepare him for high school. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is middle school is completely connected to high school, which is completely connected to college. So if that's the route a child is trying to go down, it might sound silly to say start preparing for college in sixth grade, but it's actually a lot less silly than you think. Because what happens is if you are able to formulate yourself to the point where you're going on an accelerated track in middle school, by the time you get to high school, you can start doing AP courses or advanced placement courses, which are essentially college courses that you can take in high school. You can start doing them early and earlier. Now, some people walk out of high school, graduate, but they don't have a single credit to their name going into college, and they don't really look that good for colleges. They're just the typical student. If you want to show that you're really something special, this all starts, honestly, even as early as elementary school. But a lot of people don't really want to look that far. Us in New York City, there's this exam called the SHSAT. And the SHSAT gets you into a few select specialized high schools that are in the city. And these are very, very strong schools. Now, the whole staff, the whole core staff at Test Prep Academy, we've all been able to get into one of these specialized high schools, Brooklyn Technical High School specifically. And we understand the path forward starts all the way in sixth grade and seventh grade. And like I said, we try to prepare kids year after year. And that's another aspect to this whole mentor thing. Because, what teacher do you actually stay with for more than a year in school? You don't really. But in that sense, we almost become like someone who understands the system, understands what you're supposed to do, and is willing to help you get there. And as long as you follow the steps, and as long as you actually study, it's pretty much impossible that you don't accomplish what you want to accomplish. Because a lot of the time, you can't because of ignorance. Like, I'm signing this student up now for the accelerated track they didn't even know they had in their middle school. And now we're going to try to get them into there because they're very deserving and very capable to actually complete that course. If I never got involved, they might have never even found out about that. So that's sort of the systems we're operating with here. To just if I could just add on to
Yeah, definitely.
something like that, right? And it ties back to the holistic approach, right? So as Michael said, if he didn't get involved, they might have not known that information. So another thing that we offer is free informational seminars for let's say middle school students that are moving on to high school, but anyone is free to join, right? Whether they're a student of Test Prep Academy or not, right? Somebody, it could be a parent of a fourth grader, right? And they're just thinking ahead. Like Michael said, right? It starts from sixth grade, and it absolutely does, because there's certain requirements that you have to do in sixth and seventh grade to get into what's called Regents classes in eighth grade, to be that step ahead to then eventually in high school take more and more eighth courses. So what we do is we offer these free informational seminars in order to just make sure that these parents are aware of the programs and opportunities and exams and just try to provide them with all the necessary information so that then they have an outline of, okay, these are what my options are, and then they can better decide on how they want to approach things from their end. And then it helps us to know how we should approach things from our end. So we want to absolutely provide all sorts of just information and just outside the classroom guidance that we can to both students and parents alike.
I'm really getting the sense here that you guys are really wanting to set the model of investing a lot of energy per student. Because I think one of the questions I had here also was what makes Test Prep Academy different from other online tutoring services? And the one I thought of was Khan Academy, because everybody kind of knows that one. But that one is more of a almost like a YouTube channel kind of, but I'm getting the sense that you guys are really extremely hands-on in the approach. So could you maybe elaborate a little more on what specifically positions you guys to make this impact that you're going for?
Lubaz, you want me to take it or should you first?
You could go ahead. I have something I want to say on it, but you could start it
Yeah.
off.
So the difference between us and a massive, conglomerate like Khan Academy or even in-person tutoring like Kumon, which is like franchised across the country. The difference is we very much, put like our blood, sweat, and tears into every student who desires to make better of themselves. We really work even outside of our tutoring hours. If a student wants to communicate with us, if a student is asking us for advice, we'll be there to answer. We maintain one-on-one communication with the parents. We really become sort of almost like I keep coming back to this word again and again, but it is very much a mentor, almost like if you've ever heard of Big Brother programs, where somebody older like helps out a younger student. It's not as official as that, but it just comes to the point where all of our tutors are so invested. We have talks outside of work, just amongst each other, about our students, how we can help one another, what issues are going on. We try to help as much as we can. Our goal is to prep the future generation, like as much as possible, for them to be in the best position possible to take on what's coming. Because unfortunately, there's not a lot of people, even the people that are designated to help you out, like a guidance counselor. A lot of the time, a guidance counselor's got 100 students under their belt. They don't really have enough time to actually take any one student into like a specific consideration beyond what they're required to do. And so at Test Prep Academy, we definitely pride ourselves on the fact that we love each of our students, and we really, really desire and put the work in to set them up, which is not something you could really say about these massive companies. Even small, let's say, local chains that we're very familiar with, and we've had a lot of run-ins. They put more emphasis on numbers and more emphasis on quantity than they do on quality. And so that really sets us apart from our competitors.
Yeah, I really hear that. Gubaz, I'm really curious to see what you
Right.
add to that. Yeah.
Right. Well, actually, he did touch on what I wanted to say of. So, I mean, I can't speak for each of our tutors. I mean, but I've had like conversations with parents over an hour long. You know, after imagine like tutoring all day, right? You start at some days it's like start at 3 p.m. end at 9, 10, and then let's say a parent calls me, I let them know, hey, I'll call you back at 10. And then I stay on the phone with them for an hour and a half and just discuss really just everything that I, from my perspective, believe that the student needs and how we can approach it moving forward and what we can do to help. As well as all of our students have our cell phone numbers. And even if it's like not a day where we have a class, right? Our students know they could always text us if they have any questions, right? And you know, we're never going to say, oh no, we don't have class today. Of course not. You know, if a student reaches out and they need help, whether it's a homework or a project, we will do our best to help them as soon as possible, and you know, just get them all the guidance that they need in the moment, right? So I think that the personalized relationship is definitely, yeah, what sets us apart.
I'm really getting the sense of that. How many students do you guys have enrolled at a time, typically, like in the entire Test Prep Academy?
Well, at our high, it fluctuates throughout the year because certain students join early, late, leave early, late throughout the school year. But at our peak, you'll see around at least this past year we had around 50 students at a time. So, and that's divided amongst about something like eight tutors. So, as of right now, each tutor is very dedicated. We have the hours for it. I mean, you look at that, it falls to about what is that? Something like 50 and eight. So, what about
Six.
five to six students per tutor? And so you're very much able to put as a lot of time and effort into each student. You know, a teacher in school has about 30 kids they have to look after for the whole day. So, it
Yeah, that
just
was gonna be my next question about the tutors you guys have. So I imagine that for some of the change you're talking about are competitors who aren't necessarily trying to make it as holistic that it doesn't matter quite as much if you kind of run through tutors, but I would imagine that you guys must be very selective in how you build your team. And also from looking at the website that you guys had, it looks like that you're primarily comprised of undergraduate students mainly as the mentor or as the tutors. So my question is, what are some of the strengths and weaknesses of being a young team in what you're trying to do, and how has that been navigating this sort of existing tutoring field and coming into that? Maybe goodbyes.
That's a great question. Well, the strengths definitely tie into the aspect of being able to be relatable. Students always love when you can reference something that they're interested in, whether it's a game or just something from pop culture, right? They feel like, okay, this person relates to me. They understand like my mindset, right? And I feel like that goes a really long way with students that age. But also, I mean, we're still old enough that we're able to communicate with the parents on a very professional and adult way, right? Where the parents have that same respect towards us as, I mean, maybe I don't know. I can't say that they have more or less respect than if we were older, but once they see how committed we are, once they see that, their students' grades are improving, I mean, we have so many text messages of just paragraphs of parents expressing their gratitude for the work we've done, and when they send their like progress reports or report cards or their test grades, and they say, "Hey, this is because of you, and we're just so thankful for you." So, I feel like that our age being sort of in the middle of the students and the parents' age helps us be relatable and just understand both parties. But wow, as far as weaknesses, I guess maybe it's one thing I could say is I'm the tutor that has been around for the longest. So I definitely would say that, I mean, of course, experience is one thing. So I notice myself improving as a tutor each year, right? And there's some approaches that I see, like, oh, okay, so this is something that didn't really work last year. Or, okay, I'll bring up a great example. Something that I thought of recently, actually, and I wish I thought of it earlier, was one thing that I've noticed is there are certain students that have test anxiety, right? They on the practice tests that we do together, they score, phenomenally, and then on the actual test, their scores are significantly less. And when I, talk to them about what might have went wrong, the answer that I come across most often is that they got nervous. So something that I thought of recently is doing mock test days. So we would rent out a room where we would have a few students that are studying for exams in particular, and just sort of have like a recreation of a test day, right? And help them sort of become more comfortable with this environment. Of course, we can't recreate necessarily a classroom of 30 students, but even, I mean, there we have quite a few students for each particular test. So if we can at least get, you know, 5 or 6 students per test in a room, I feel like it's a good simulation, and it will sort of help to ease the nerves, so to speak. So I feel like, yeah, that's one thing of we're, you know, gaining experience, but we're open to the new things, right? Whereas a older tutor might be kind of, so to say, stuck in their ways. We are always open to expanding and just, you know, trying out new things, seeing what works. And honestly, sometimes even my students, like, they'll point out, let's say I give them 3 different approaches to solving a question, and they say, hey, what about this approach? And they have this fourth approach that maybe I didn't even think of, right? We're always, I love to hear that, right? And I'm always open to incorporating that. So I guess as the years go on, we definitely are gaining experience. So that's one thing that I would say is a lack, but it's a work in progress as well. And that's something that each given year, we're just getting better and better. So.
Yeah, I think it's a really thorough answer. Yeah, I really like the part about the test simulation. It's like you're putting their nervous system in the same situation of where they would end up, because tutoring, yeah, like you said, tutoring in a one-on-one situation is very different than the activated brain state of a real test. Yeah,
Absolutely.
Michael, anything else to add on thoughts on strengths and weaknesses of a young team?
One of the strengths is that we have a lot of energy, and a lot of energy that
True.
a team of older people don't have. Older people don't really like to take risks. Older people don't really like to aim high. They're happy with where they're at, usually. This is not a knock against old people. They have every right to. Older, not old people, older people. They have every right to want to stay safe and secure, but we're at a point in our lives where we're aiming for the stars with the company. We're aiming for the stars with everything we want to achieve, and everything we want to achieve for the students. And our desire is to never get complacent with that, and always be gunning to aim higher and higher. In terms of weaknesses, honestly, Gubaz's is pretty much the only one I could think of. It's the inexperience. Now, our company was established in 2019, and so it's been steady so far for someone like me and someone like Gubaz. We've been here for a while. We know our way around the block, but so to speak. But when it comes to our team, we need to kind of guide them for a bit before they really get their bearings, which is fine, and I assume that's the case everywhere. But it's a weakness, but it's a weakness that's quickly fixed. So I'd say I'm very happy with our team. I'm very happy with the things we've been able to achieve in a year. Especially most recently, we celebrated the end of our first successful phase 2 year, which is some underground stuff that we really probably can't expand on, but we celebrated, and we have photos on the website of this large event we were able to pull off, and it was a great time for everybody and all the students and all the parents. And I don't really think you wouldn't get something like that from any other tutoring company. So if you went on to testprepacademy.net to the gallery section, you'd see some wonderful photos from a beautiful event we were just able to create. So that's what I have to add.
And just one more thing that I'd like to add on to the tutor sort of, or not even add on to, just caveat on. So when we're bringing on new members of our team, right? We sort of have this 3-step interview process, I would say. The first step is that we talk to a tutor on the phone, kind of explain to them what it is that we do, and get a feel for how much they would fit into our mission statement, and how much they would, you know, take on our mission statement, and also agree with our approaches and our views, right? Then we get on a Zoom call and we sort of walk them through. We have them sort of explain more on themselves and their what subjects they're knowledgeable on, and we try to then get a sense of what sort of students we would be able to assign to them. So, like, what grades and which subjects in particular. And then, what I would say is our most important step is that we have a team member that he's actually in seventh grade, and he is a perfect representation of a what a student is, right, of that age. So what he does, what we do is actually Michael and I join a Zoom where this student, Mate, gets tutored from these various new potential team members, and we sort of just watch this trial practice lesson that they do, and we, I mean, that's the best way to see kind of the tutor in action and see what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and then we try to explain to them, all right, this is what you can improve on, this is what you do well. Then if there's some things that we really need them to improve on, maybe we have another lesson with Mate to see if those are some things that they can iron out. And then if we are confident in their abilities to take on a, so to speak, like a actual student, then we would assign them one student at first, and we stay in constant contact with the parent of, all right, how's it going? How, are they satisfied with the lessons? What do they think? And that parent approval is really the final step in, all right, we can trust this individual to take on more and more students and be a more active member of the team. So we really want to start them off slow and steady to make sure that each team member understands what our goal is, and you know, we want to make sure that, again, back to the whole quality over quantity thing, right? We want to make sure that each of our tutors are providing each of their students with that holistic approach and just, you know, everything they need to succeed in their academic careers.
Yeah, so you guys really are putting a lot of energy into even just the hiring process itself of like selecting the team. Yeah, that's I respect that. Yeah. So
Thank you.
what I think is the want to get into the end of the questions here. What is your favorite and least favorite part of running the company, being co-founders of the company, anything in the tutoring sphere? Maybe Michael, starting with you.
In terms of management, in terms of running the company, I have to say it's honestly been very fun and very exciting. In terms of positives, I mean, there's so much I could say, but I guess I could narrow it down to you know, this is really making a difference for people. Gubas has touched on it earlier, but we've seen messages. Sorry for the background noise. We've seen messages from parents when their kid succeeds. And it's like, look, when you get a student to improve from a 1,000 to a 1,400 on their SAT, this is something that affects the rest of their life. You know, they were going to go to a community college, and instead they get to go to a private top level school. And so that's honestly been the best part is understanding that we're helping facilitate this. And honestly, that's there's nothing more rewarding than being able to do that. But gosh, in terms of negatives, I mean, my least favorite part, I don't know. I guess if there was anything I could say is that sometimes in a business like this where you're working with others, you don't always get your way, and you got to compromise, which is fine. It's fine at the end of the day when you have to compromise, you have to compromise, but I honestly can't think of anything else that's even a little bit negative, because I love this job. I love being able to help these children. But if there was anything, I'll give you that one. So.
Hey man, you're in a really good spot. I'm very happy for you. That's to have to struggle so much just to even come up with a negative. Sounds like you're in a great spot. That's awesome.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah. If I so I mean, are you asking particularly from like the management side of things, or just would you like to know like overall?
I think whatever stands out to you, yeah, like in this whole, in the all the responsibilities that you have, any responsibility you have, positive or negative, yeah,
So,
encompass all of it.
I wouldn't say that this is a negative. I would say it's just a challenge. When, there's some students that are brilliant, and it's of course such a joy to help like a brilliant student, just go above and beyond, right? And take them to new heights. But the most challenging thing I would say is when a student is brilliant, but they aren't motivated. And wow, it's really difficult. It's really difficult. I mean, you try all sorts of approaches, and hopefully you find one that clicks, but yeah, that's definitely been for me, the like navigating how to really motivate every single student. And I know it's a tall task, and it's putting a lot of pressure on ourselves to say that, hey, like no student left behind. Every single student, like we're going to have progress with them. And you know what? For the most part, we do. And so that's why it sort of is the voice in the back of your head, like, hey, look, if you can do it with 47 out of the 50, right, as a team, that you can figure out a way to do it with those three too. And I mean, we will never give up on a student, and we will always push them to, like try their best. But yeah, that's definitely been just the most challenging thing over the years of getting students engaged if they don't already want to themselves. And that's the thing. So that's kind of what does work, is not the, hey, you have to stay engaged, you have to want this. No, it's trying to find, all right, what can we like figure out about this student to then make them naturally decide to want this, right? So yeah, that's something that's been tough, but we try our best to navigate through that as well.
I hear you, man. Yeah, I can imagine that. It also, there's an aspect of giving yourself grace in that as well, because if you've, had that success with 47 out of 50, and you say, okay, we know that this has worked pretty well and that you can see the results in a lot, that knowing that it's not necessarily a you thing also, if like it's they can't get that motivation activated. But yeah, that does sound like a challenge though. But those are some great answers. Okay, so I think we're near the end here. I know you guys kind of want to get some word out about Test Prep Academy. So the last question is really just, is there anything else that you guys want to share that you think we haven't really gone over here, to sort of let everybody know what you're about? If not, maybe just a piece of advice for anybody at the end. But this last one is just kind of an open-ended thing to leave a lasting message for the listeners.
Well, I will say something. I mean, there's this whole time we've been talking about how to improve academics, how to get better grades, how to do this, how to do that. And that's pretty important. It's very important if that's the path you've chosen. There's tons of people in this country and all across the world, but we're in America, so let's talk about America, who can't be academics, and that's okay. This country would collapse if everybody was an academic. We need people who aren't.
Oh, yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just as important, it's just as honorable. But if that's the path you've chosen, or if that's the path you must go down for whatever reason. You need to approach it with as much effort and desire as you can. You need to, and you need to surround yourself with the people who are going to help facilitate that for you. And a lot of the time, that's not going to be, and it very well may be in some situations, but a lot of the time, that's not going to be your public school teacher. They have a lot of other things to worry about. They have their own life to worry about. Your best shot is to go to somebody who wants you to get where you want to go just as much as you do. And that's what we provide at Test Prep Academy. That's always what we look for in our employees, motivated, hardworking individuals who are going to put the effort in to help one's student, one's child succeed. That's always the goal. And whether it's in general coursework, whether it's in a specific exam, or whether it's just preparing for college, preparing for, entering the job market, or at least entering undergraduate schooling. That's what we're here for. And honestly, it's always been a pleasure to see the improvement of each of our students. It's even there's a lot of reward in working to get there, even when it's not the easiest thing in the world, because once you see that report card come back, once you see that test score get released, once you see that GPA fly up, you know that all the work and effort you put in was absolutely worth it. And that goes ditto for the student and for the tutor. So, it's a very special thing. And if you're really going to go for it, just go for it.
I hear that. I hear that. Yeah, Kabaz, any last thoughts?
Just to piggyback off of what Michael said, right, not everybody will be academic, but even if somebody is not trying to go down that path, another part of what we're expressing of mentorship that we're trying to give is, it could come down to just helping a student with their overall critical thinking and logical reasoning abilities, right? And that is something that might not even just be in the classroom, right? That's just life skills that they need to have, right? For whatever field that they decide to pursue. And I mean, another thing with like the rise of AI in everyday life, I mean, that's going to be something that is very necessary to work on in particular. I mean, I always say like the brain, the mind, it's a muscle, right? And if you don't exercise it, it's going to get weaker. So we want to help stimulate young minds and help them just stay on the right path and just give them all the guidance that we can to just be successful. And whether that's academic success or just overall, we hope that they trust that we have their best interests in mind, and then we have the best intentions for them. And we want to do whatever it is that we can to just help members of our community, outside the community, just young minds in general. And we want to do our part to just help society, like society, the little corner of society that we have a reach to, and whatever it is that we can do, we'll try our best.
That's a great message, man. Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody can take something from that, particularly of the you can only impact what you can reach, but if you dig into that one little zone you're in, you can really make some impact in that area. So I'm really feeling that from you guys.
Thank you,
Thank
John.
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your time today. I think we all learned a lot about kind of the philosophy of tutoring, and also a little shout out there for Test Prep Academy. So I'll link all that in the bio and everything description. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys' time today, and for walking us through what you guys have going on.
Yeah, thank you for having us on, Don. It was a pleasure to speak with you and meet with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Don. I mean, these were some wonderful questions that really stimulated us to think about what it is that we're doing exactly. So thank you for breaking that out of us.
Yeah,
Appreciate it. For
honestly,
sure. Definitely.
you're making me emotional looking back on everything we've done, man. It's like,
Man. Yeah, man. All right. Yeah, that's great. All right. Thank you, guys.